decided this year for the Christmas season scripture readings to look at some of the Psalms that refer to Jesus Christ and anticipate his coming. And today we begin with the reading of Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is a vitally important portion of God's Word. It's rightly pointed out that Psalms 1 and 2 form a gateway into the spiritual life, into the faith of those who are God's people. And Psalm 1 tells us that our faith is grounded in the Word of God. The blessed man is he who delights in the law of the Lord. And in fact, that'll come up in our sermon today. But the other pillar is God's purpose, his decree to gather all things up in his Son. And Psalm 2 anticipates the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it does so in a way that acknowledges, you'll see this in the birth narrative of Jesus, that there is hostility in this world. And it's not just happening. There's a conspiracy. The nations are raging. They are plotting in vain, not only against the Lord, but also against his anointed. But behind the scenes of everything going on in the world is the cosmic warfare against Jesus Christ and God's purposes in Jesus Christ. But they are destined to fail. That's the wisdom of Psalm 2. We think of how Jesus as a baby seemed so weak and Herod was conspiring against him, and all through his ministry they would, and yet they were seeking that which could not be done. The decree of God could not be overthrown. And he says, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Verse 7 says, I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, this is a dialogue between the Father and Son in the book of the Psalms. The Lord said to me, you are my Son, today I have begotten you. Now that statement is referring to the first coming of Jesus as a whole. The entire complex of events with the first coming of the Messiah. God was establishing the lordship of his Son. If you wanted me to name a particular point, I think Paul in Romans 1, verse 4, would assign this to the resurrection of Jesus. By his resurrection, Jesus was declared in power by the Holy Spirit to be the Son of God. But it's true of the whole of his first coming. And the Lord says, ask of me to his Son, and I will make the nations your heritage. And Christ is going to be Lord. And what's the conclusion of it all? Well, it's the conclusion we should be drawing from all our reading of Scripture. That we need to serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling. It says, kiss the Son. At the center of God's purpose for history is the lordship of his Son, the Lord Jesus. All things are gathered up in him and in his salvation. The meaning of life is that we need to know him. We need to trust him. And we will enter into his salvation. The psalm ends, blessed are all, speaking of Jesus, who take refuge in him. Well, let's give ear to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and life-giving word, the second psalm. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my Son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned, O rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Praise the Lord. May God be praised through the reading and hearing of his holy word. Amen.